all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, once again, I've made a liar out of Don Rue. Thank you for the intro, Don, but not live from our Lake Wissota studio. Wrapping up a quick visit to Madison before heading back up north, but still a nice day to have you here all across the Civic Media Radio Network on this Friday, February 9th. And again, I want to say the date, February 9th, February, Brittany Merlot.
I know.
We had our first February tornado after a doozy of a thunderstorm went through Madison here. So, I mean, it's both noteworthy and dangerous. I mean, a lot of structures were damaged yesterday.
Yeah, I've seen videos of houses with roofs ripped off, trailers damaged, trees down and snapped, power lines snapped as well. A very dangerous storm there and really wild weather. I mean, you think about it, we shouldn't have had these mid-50 temperatures. That area hit highs of 56 degrees yesterday, setting records. And we know the history of this big storm system off to the west. It brought extreme moisture with it, and that's exactly what it did here, too. It pumped those dew points high enough to give us enough instability and moisture and the perfect ingredients for tornadoes. And when you have a cold front, big differences in temperatures smashing into each other, that creates lift and it creates these storms that become severe and strong and rotate. And if they rotate enough, you can drop those tornadoes. So two of them are reported, actually three of them are reported down in Illinois. We had the one touchdown here as well. It may not have been just one. There's multiple damage tracks out there. So it could have lifted and dropped back down, lifted, dropped back down. It could have been a different storm as well. A lot of those storms kind of combined as we watch that rotation there. So funnel cloud was spotted in Judah. We heard touchdown reports in Albany. It started to move northeast towards Evansville into Rock County. That's where a lot of the houses, pictures of coming in of roofs being ripped off into Fulton and Edgerton as well. We're seeing some damage reports. And I know that reports last night were going out for people not to cross I-39. Or go south out of Madison or north out of Janesville, because that storm did cross over the highway and head towards Fort Atkinson as well, where another funnel cloud was spotted. So if you've seen the videos, it looks like a skinny rope tornado, and a lot of the videos looks pretty small, right? It doesn't look like it's touching the ground, but if you look closely at some of them, you can see the debris cloud. You can see some of that rotation on the ground. It doesn't have to be a fully connected tornado. It can still be doing damage with a gap in between and you don't see it filled in. So as you're looking at those videos, it's pretty scary stuff out there. Now today, big changes, colder temperatures. What you're feeling right now in the upper 30s to low 40s, we're going to kind of hover there and stay there today. We'll see some sun to start, more clouds throughout the afternoon, and very breezy winds still. This time they're cranking out of the west and the northwest, and it's going to bring our temperatures cooler back to average. So we'll get below freezing tonight. And we'll stay in the mid to upper 30s for the weekend.
And a few notes here from some of the listeners. Rob, of course, checks in from Tigerton saying 38, a quarter inch of rain. Thank you, Brittany, for an excellent job of keeping us up to date with severe weather updates. They are important people in severe weather events. And Roger notes that it's 36 right now at the Central Wisconsin Airport in Mosinee. After record highs of 56 in Rapids, 54 in Marshfield and Merrill, Wausau, 53, Stevens Point, 53. And those wind gusts, Marshfield reported a wind gust of, what the heck was it? 54 miles an hour.
Wow.
I mean, this is just nothing to mess around with. Not expected, you know, well, not normal. And let's hope we don't have to do something like that again anytime soon.
Absolutely. Brittany,
yeah. Thanks so much. We'll see if we can have a normal winter week real soon. We'll get things started on Monday.
Sounds good. Have a good weekend.
Right. Yep. You too. All right. All right. At 7:10 now, let me tell you that coming up on Monday, our guests will be Brian Derrick and Glennis Mahar. They're the hosts of a new podcast from Courier Newsroom called Vibes Only. dedicated to following the news headlines and especially calling out the misinformation that has been skewing how Americans feel about the economy and how they feel about the election, how they feel about democracy itself. So Glennis and Derek will be joining us to talk more. Brian, rather, will be joining us to talk about that podcast. Now, you can get that at couriernewsroom.com, also through Courier Newsroom, and also through his own site, stopthepresses.news, is Mark Jacob, and he joins us a little bit early today to talk about things going on in the news. Mark, good morning to you.
Hi, how are you?
Well, okay. I mean, it certainly has been one very busy week, and we spent a lot of time the last hour talking about the Supreme Court arguing, you know, being skeptical of kicking Trump off the ballot, and we've talked about his loss in the Court of Appeals, Trump's claiming absolute immunity. We didn't spend quite as much time because it came in late yesterday. But on what seems like nothing more than a psychiatric hit job described, disguised as a special counsel's report, and the utter feeding frenzy that the White House press corps engaged in with President Biden last night, I don't think it was one of the finest moments for the White House press corps as they and the president sparred about what this Republican special counsel's report said, exonerating the president for his handling of classified documents.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was just reading a New York Times story in which they said, well, part of the problem is that the Biden team keeps him under wraps too much. But, you know, but he does an impromptu news conference yesterday, you know, and they jump all over him. And so it's just ridiculous the way they want to have it both ways. The thing about that special counsel's report is, I mean, it is outrageous. I mean, it really was kind of James Comey too, you know, where you have a situation where you're not going to charge anyone with anything, but you want to say a bunch of crappy things to just hurt them politically. And I mean, it's shameful. You look at some of the phraseology in that special counsel's report, and it clearly, he was saying, I can't charge this guy because I, you know, there's nothing to convict him on, but I'm going to damage him as much politically as I can. And it really is shameful. It's just not the way that kind of thing is supposed to work.
No, it's not. And it, you know, I couldn't help but notice, and I don't have the notes in front of me, but you know, of all the last presidents who have been investigated by special counsels for one thing or another, whether the president was a Republican and was investigated by a Republican special counsel, or a Democratic president, again, investigated by a Republican appointed or a Republican special counsel, there seems to be a trend here in the way that these things go. And you'd think that at the very least, these would be folks that still understand the need for impartiality and independence when you're engaged in public service like this, and to leave the politics at the door when you are going to do a job like this. But it just seems like Ken Starr showed them the path that they continue to follow.
Right. And that's another thing to really to understand is that Trump and other Republicans, they view the investigation itself as the goal, not actually finding wrongdoing that leads to charges or anything, but just this ongoing investigation. That's what the Mayorkas thing was about. That's especially what Trump trying to pressure the Ukrainian president into investigating Biden way back when. That's what that was about. Trump didn't want, you know, he didn't know that it wasn't going to come to anything. But if he could get, he could, you know, withhold arms to try to get the Ukrainian leader to announce the investigation of Biden, that was all he needed, you know. And so it is this kind of ongoing, keep the dialogue, keep it going, keep this rhetoric going, keep the, you know, keep investigation in the public mind to where, you know, it never has to come to anything. I mean, it's not that there's anything there. It's just that if you keep on talking about it, you like conjure it into out of thin air.
I think the other thing that is missing so often is context or perspective, in that there is such a difference between how President Biden handled documents, especially as vice president, compared to a president turned former president and all the documents and national secrets and the sloppy way they were stored at Mar-a-Lago. The two are not even remotely related. And instead, what we're going to hear about today is that in last night's press conference, President Biden said Mexico when he meant to say Egypt, as if I've never messed up which kid I was yelling at when I was yelling at my kids.
Right. Well, and what's funny, last night, Jesse Waters on Fox News is denouncing Biden for these gaffes. And then he announces that his next guest is Kristi Noem of South Carolina. When obviously, yeah. So I mean, so people make mistakes. I mean, that, and Biden makes mistakes. He's an old guy. I mean, he makes mistakes. But I mean, he's got a good team around him. And I mean, just look at the substance, Pat, which apparently nobody wants to do. But let's look at the substance. Look at how he helped bring NATO together to confront Putin in the Ukraine invasion. Look at any number of things. Look at how he's gotten a cap on insulin prices for, you know, for seniors, for Medicare. I mean, they're just, I could go down the list for hours of the things, the infrastructure stuff, building bridges, all this stuff that has actually gotten done. But they want to, you know, people want to focus on these gaffes. I mean, it's so disappointing, and it's so shallow. It's just shallow news coverage.
There was one person who follows national media as well that really ripped into Peter Baker from the New York Times for saying, well, the Biden team hasn't really talked up and trumpeted their accomplishments, going back and showing that when the Inflation Reduction Act passed, Peter Baker and others never listed the things that were in the bill, harping only on the fact that there is inflation. So here they're saying, well, we never hear any good stuff about Biden. Well, yeah, when he did something, you wouldn't report on that. You'd report only on the vibes that were out there rather than the substance of the bill.
Right, right. And it's all become that. And especially on right-wing news now, with the economy looking so good and all the metrics looking strong. You know, even inflation getting, you know, much lower than it was for a while. And, you know, and they, but the, so they stopped talking about that. They can't talk about that anymore. They have to talk about, well, here's what people feel about it, which, you know, always public's attitudes about the economy are always a trailing indicator to the actual economy. And sometimes they're actually devoid of any connection with the actual economy. And I think that the Republicans are benefiting from that right now.
We are talking to Mark Jacob, former Chicago Tribune Metro editor, author, and we'll cover a bit more ground in just a second here. First, want to let you know that the Milwaukee Bucks lost again, this time to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So they are now, since Doc Rivers started, 1-5. They're back in action against the Charlotte Hornets tonight. You can hear that game across several stations here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where you're listening to Up North News Radio on this Friday morning. Live from Madison this morning, but when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
Lift me, won't you lift me above the old routine? Make it nice, play it clean, jazz band.
Again, Carole King turning 82 years old today, as heard in our daily history lesson every day at about 6:50 or so. Hey, if you're watching this show on a Facebook page, either the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page, or a couple of others, you can leave comments. We see them and may put them up and talk about them, and they aren't always necessarily going to be friendly. For example, Randy here puts up, same old liberal biased opinions. Well, Randy, here's something that I don't think is biased. If you are going to undermine democracy by saying, rather than counting the votes, we're just going to pick which ballots and which states we want to count, that appears to be, Mark, what Elise Stefanik would do, talking again recently on TV about, asked what she would do if she were vice president on January 6th. And she said she wouldn't do what Mike Pence did, which was to follow the law and preserve American democracy. It just seemed like she was again auditioning to be Donald Trump's running mate.
Yeah. Oh, she's terrible. We each of us, I think, can kind of pick out the politicians that most bother us. And she bothers me more than almost any politician out there, because she ran as a moderate. I was reading just last night about how she was at one point, like not long ago, maybe 4 years ago, was considered the 13th most bipartisan member of Congress. She was rated that way. Hmm. She meant she worked across the aisle, all this other stuff. And then she took a extreme right turn for her own ambition. And so, and you know, she's a Harvard grad. I mean, it's not like she's some deluded nut or some person who's not very bright, like maybe Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, but who doesn't seem to understand anything. But at least Stefanik really understands what's going on, and she has just made a deal with the devil. I mean, there's no other way to put it. She has simply decided that whatever she has to do to seize power, she's going to do it. And she's auditioning for vice president, obviously, you know, and she even took down from her website, her statement that called for prosecution of the January 6th mob. And now she's calling them hostages, you know, because Trump is. And so, I mean, there's really nothing she wouldn't do. I mean, it's pretty obvious to become vice president. She's, you know, power is everything and the country be damned.
Well, you know, the whole point of disinformation is essentially to inspire or trigger national amnesia. And that seems to be what is happening with a larger swath of the population, that the events of January 6th, 2021 were not what we all saw with our own eyes that day. And what hundreds of law enforcement officers experienced on that day, not to mention the members of Congress. And it seems even, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court justices themselves, and not even all of the conservative justices. It seemed there were other justices that were, you know, kind of memory holing January 6th when it comes to determining if someone is an insurrectionist and should be on the ballot or not, which is what they were debating yesterday about Donald Trump. For a crew that loves to talk about states' rights, they suddenly got amnesia about, you know, states being the ones that run their elections and decide who's on their ballots.
Yeah, I think they've kind of reached a conclusion that it would just be too messy politically to follow what the Constitution clearly says. And so I don't expect them to knock Trump off the ballot and support that Colorado decision. I think the opposite is the case. I have a little pet theory, though, Pat. I feel like, I wonder, because when you saw people like Kagan, you know, and Jackson, in effect, going along with, you know, the Alito and Kavanaugh type people, I wondered whether they'd cut some sort of deal to where in that other case that's in front of the Supreme Court about the appellate court decision that
about
Trump
immunity.
Does not have immunity, whether the more liberal justices have said, okay, we're going to give you this one. But we have to refuse to accept to that case from the appeal from the appeals court and let the appeal court ruling stand. I mean, I'm not saying that kind of horse trading happens in the Supreme Court, but I'll bet that kind of horse trading happens in the Supreme Court.
You wouldn't be surprised if it did happen. I frankly, again, you know, call me naive. I am surprised that, you know, Clarence Thomas is hearing the case, much less that he's still on the court, given all that he has accepted in gifts from people with cases before the court and having a wife who helped plan the insurrection. Not sure why Chief Justice Roberts isn't somehow, you know, taking action to avoid that. There's a reason why Marquette polls continue to show on a nationwide basis that credibility in the U.S. Supreme Court is at a lifetime low.
Right. I mean, well, I think John Roberts, you know, occasionally, you know, made decisions that, you know, that I think people liked, you know, for example, you know, the Obamacare and stuff like that. But by and large, I mean, he's made some really damaging decisions. And, you know, one of them was, you know, this whole idea that gerrymandering, he's been terrible on gerrymandering. And part of the reason we're in the situation we are now is John Roberts. So, you know, who's the Voting Rights Act and deciding, well, that we've solved all of the problems of, you know, racial bias in redistricting and things like that. I mean, I guess what I'd have to say is that the Supreme Court has earned its bad reputation. And, but Pat, I think you're missing the whole Clarence Thomas thing. He has special expertise in insurrection because he's married to an insurrectionist. So he's perfectly qualified to be ruling on this case.
Yes. If you have that kind of basically secondhand experience, yes. And then finally, you know, what was happening in Congress this week with the border bill, again, the events were clear. The hypocrisy was clear. The flip-flop was clear. And yet the New York Times, the Boston Globe, others had headlines like this Boston Globe headline: Democrats and Republicans almost reached meaningful agreements. Then politics got in the way. No, politics didn't get in the way, Mark. Republican politics got in the way. Why is it so hard for a crew that loves to talk about accuracy to be fully accurate?
Because blaming everyone and saying, or blaming some nebulous thing like politics, is totally the safe way to do for cowardly members of the news media. I mean, you don't make anyone mad. You just say, oh my gosh, it just doesn't work out. We just this political divide, this partisan politics. It's shameful. And especially in a case like this, it's so clear cut. When you had Democrats, if you look at the stuff that was, so it was in this proposal, the Democrats sacrificed stuff that they didn't want in the bill, but they let it in the bill because they wanted a compromise. And this was not like a give the Democrats everything they want by any means. It was the Democrats actually moving toward the center and trying to reach a compromise, and a few sensible enough Republicans going along. But then instantly Trump says, I don't want it. And Mike Johnson caves.
I am, again, just amazed that there aren't more stories about how far Biden was willing to go. Right. You know, what a moderate he is, what a negotiator he is. But, you know, maybe the next time. I don't know. You can follow what Mark is posting about happenings in the news at Twitter at MarkJacob16, but also catch his Stop the Presses newsletter, stopthepresses.news, along with his Media Misses videos with Stephen Beschloss. It is great to talk to you as always, Mark. Thanks again for being flexible, and have a great weekend.
Talk to you later, Pat.
All right. When we come back, we are going to talk with Civic Media's Mike Clemens, who is in Las Vegas. He is at the Super Bowl, a Super Bowl, by the way, that you can hear on WRCO, Radio from the Center, 100.9 FM. Tune in for Super Bowl Sunday. We'll hear more about it from Mike next. You're up north. You know, once upon a time, if you were introducing anything about the NFL, you'd have very macho music going, symphonic, the kind of stuff that used to accompany NFL films. We get Taylor Swift now. It's Taylor's world. We're just playing a football game in it, and that football game is going to be attended and watched by billions of people. One of them, Mike Clemens from Civic Media, who joins us now from Las Vegas, home of Super Bowl 58. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Pat. You know, it's not a bad idea for a bumper music, you know, because Taylor's allegedly going to be here, right? With the, was it 12-hour flight from Tokyo where she's doing a concert?
It's 13.
And see the game and then go back? 13 hours. Yeah, sure.
It is the best illustration. Teachers are going to use this forever. How many times when you had the word problems in math, like, when am I ever going to have a train leaving this city at this time and a train leaving this city? Well, now we've got a real life example involving the Super Bowl, and yeah, people
that's
will
a, that's an SAT question. If Taylor Swift leaves an hour sooner than Dua Lipa.
Oh man. Hey, so tell me, I was going to ask you about the environment there so far, Mike. I don't know how many or whether you've attended others, so I don't know if you want to compare this to other big games or just tell us how things have been overall there in Vegas this week.
It's my 18th.
Oh my. Okay. All right.
You know, some of the ones that we've done in the Phoenix area have been great. But see, the Super Bowl, whether you're a fan or a guy just trying to, you know, put a couple of stories together, it's all about logistics the week of. And, you know, it starts when the plane lands and you see all the Super Bowl banners at the airport. But then you see more soldiers with, you know, bomb-sniffing dogs than you'll ever see for the rest of your life. And then as each day gets closer to the game, the checkpoints grow even larger. And even on So we get here on Saturday. We do a week's worth of shows from here. And then on Sunday, we like to get in there early because we're going to go on the air Monday. And we have to get in there and make sure that our lines are working and we get our credential picked up for the week and those kinds of things. And then we also, I've got friends in the league at this point that used to work in Green Bay that say, oh, yeah, I can get you a parking pass. And so sometimes you're saving yourself 40, 50 bucks a day in parking, you know, in the resort. Yeah, it's a very expensive trip that way. So I say to one of the guys I'm working with, I said, listen, while you guys work on that equipment, I'll see if I can track down this parking pass thing. And they say, oh, yeah, the NFL, they're over at Caesar's Palace. We're at Mandalay Bay.
Oh,
the big gold windows, one, right?
The one thing I know about Vegas is the hotels, I've been there twice, I think, and the hotels and everything, they all look like they're next door to each other. They are not actually next door to each other. There is so much space between them.
Well, here's what might have changed since the last time you were there. It's changed for me. You know, there is the Strip, the Las Vegas Boulevard, and you walk up and down the side of it. That's all changed. Apparently, they were killing 3 to 4 pedestrians a month who were trying to jaywalk across the street. Who knows how much they've been drinking, you know, going from casino to casino. So they've put fences all up and along the sidewalk. You can't jaywalk. You have to go all the way. And what they've done to compensate for that, they really get people off the street, is they've built these skywalks. So you walk like 2 blocks, then you have to climb stairs and then walk across the street, not cross the street, walk across the street on a skywalk, then back down to continue your journey. Well, for me, I rented a Uber and left Mandalay Bay, and it's going to cost me about $17. We get about a block away from Caesars, and my driver says, uh-oh. And I'm like, well, what? Because he sees all these military guys starting to swarm around and form roadblocks. Air Force One had just landed.
Oh, gosh.
The same day that the Chiefs and the 49ers are coming in. And there's all these, you know, fans that are arriving for the Super Bowl. So I had to get out of the cab and kind of jaywalk to get out of that way. I go to Caesars. I go to 2 different desks. They don't know anything about the NFL there. And then I'm like, okay, I got to get out of here. Because apparently the president is coming to this hotel. And I get outside and there's a protester being arrested. There's guys, you know, all in military. And I said, I just want to know how to get out of here. It took me an hour to get back. Like, and the guys are like, where have you been?
Well, there was a guy there at the hotel. He said, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
Yeah,
so, you know, just another
nice.
Another day in Vegas. Yes. Thank you very much for that. So you get the credentials, you navigate everything there. At some point, I don't even know if it's happened yet. You have to pay attention to the game. What's the talk about the game itself?
The most brilliant quote of the week came from Chris Long, the veteran defensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs, and says, it's like we're the villain. It's kind of like with the Patriots. Remember, you know, by the time that Brady got to ring number 5, ring number 6, and then they might lose the Super Bowl. Then they might come back again and win it. And people just like, they get bored of it. And he wondered if people are already getting bored of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid racking them up. Like, people are almost kind of, you know, betting against them or cheering against them. And I thought that was an interesting point.
I agree, so, especially when, well, they've kind of overexposed themselves to a degree, because not only do you see them on the field and doing well on the field, but they're like in every third commercial that you see when you're watching, you know, sports on the weekend. So we were saying, yeah, if Detroit were in it or Baltimore, you would definitely have a different feel to the game. But the game between, again, Taylor and Usher and the commercials, it really does feel kind of lower on the attention span. And I can only, again, you said you've been to 18 of these. I'm just going all the way back. I can only imagine what, you know, the people who planned, you know, the first championship game, and then it was Super Bowl II and Super Bowl III, how they would look at this today. But you can look back at 18 of these, what, you know, the differences between this one versus the first one you went to.
Yeah, well, you know, what I can't believe, there was a game that ended like 10-3. It was actually a very good special teams defensive game where the Patriots beat a very hot offensive Rams team. Remember that? And I watched the TV version of that, and there was so much of that game that was cut off. The field position in that game was tremendous, and there was things going on during the commercial breaks that you folks at home never got to see because of the long commercial breaks. So getting down to the game itself, even though I believe the 49ers, last time I checked, they were just 1.5 favorites, they've got, you know, they're in their prime with all the weapons that they've got between, you know, Kittle and Christian McCaffrey. Oh, man, what a stud that guy is. Debo Samuel, you know, if he's healthy, can be so dangerous. Brandon Ayuk. And their defense as well, led by Fred Warner. But the Chiefs, their defense in the last month really came on. And it's Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator. This guy beat the Packers in that last game for the far played for the Packers against the Giants. He's got a couple of rings now. He comes up with these great defensive plans. He came up with a great plan last year against the Eagles. And, you know, he's tough to beat, man. He comes up with these great game plans. So right now, I'm still leaning towards Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes finding in-game adjustments to get past the 49ers.
Okay. One last thing. I know you got to head off to another event, and it's actually away from the game. And I know you've not been following much of anything else for sports. So this is just a personal feel, because I feel like I've been asking everybody this question. With the Bucks now 1-5 under Doc Rivers, I just want to know your impression. Do you feel like this is just a temporary thing, or do you get a queasy feeling about where the Bucks are going in the second half of the season?
Really queasy after losing to the Timberwolves last night, a team that they think they're 8-15 or something like that. Listen, Doc Rivers was on the road when they were 1-4, and he started complaining about the travel. Okay, and he goes into a detailed description of their itinerary and how that was kind of tough turnaround for his players. Fine. Then he used that excuse again for their first loss now at home during the stretch. They've lost 5 out of 6. Yeah, they've got two or three guys with some sore ankles. But right now, it feels like that, you know, cutting Adrian Griffin where they did doesn't necessarily feel like it went over that well in that locker room, even though you probably thought that there's quite a few guys in that organization thought, oh, my gosh, this guy's in over his head in terms of Adrian Griffin. So, you know, and then you hear people from Boston say, same old Doc Rivers, got every excuse under the book as to why we lost, all kinds of excuses. To me, at first I thought, wow, look at how this guy can really break down a game. He's quite the surgeon, no pun intended. But right now it feels really bad. And then they're bringing in a 35-year-old Patrick Beverley from the 76ers, his last team, to help out with their defensive problems. Okay.
Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah, he'd played for Doc once before, but that doesn't mean he can do it in 2024. So I really appreciate hearing that perspective as we follow the Bucks into the second half of the season and hearing all about what's happening at the Super Bowl in Las Vegas. Mike Clements, thank you so much for joining us early. We appreciate it. I know how hard you're working, but I hope you get to enjoy some of it too.
I enjoy your show, Pat. It's great to be on.
Well, thank you so much. All right, have a great time. Safe travels. Talk again soon.
Thank you, pal.
All righty. I was not aware Mike had been to 18 of these. And having been to, you know, some VIP events, you know, mostly political, and then I've been to one or two NFL playoff games, working them, you know, down on the field. But I can scarcely imagine what it's like to work a Super Bowl these days. And then you throw Vegas and a presidential visit into it. It's amazing anything gets done.
Yeah, I don't know if honestly, the experience I'd love to have, but if you could just stop everyone, stop time, stop motion, just put me right in my seat, and then when the game is done, take me out and place me back home, I'd be fine. A lot of people, just so many people.
It is, and again, there are plenty of people who will have, you know, a wonderful experience. I don't know that nobody's going to have a perfect experience, because you're going to face traffic jams. Yeah. You're going to face massive pedestrian crowds and everything else. But it is America's big show now. Mm-hmm. The game, the commercials, the halftime show, you know, it's it's really more than the 4th of July in terms of the whole country comes together and celebrates America, you know, and here we are watching the game. Did I even, in all of my questioning to everybody else here, did I even ask if you were where you were going on the game, if you were watching it, if you thought one team was going to come out ahead?
I mean, I want Kansas City to win because and it's kind of apart from Taylor Swift. It's more, I like Travis Kelce. I think he's a good guy. I just like his vibe. I got invited to a party. I'm not sure if I'm going to go. We'll see. If anything, it'll be probably checking it on my phone, but I'd like to watch some of the game, you know. I have fun trivia for you, though. Fun trivia.
Okay.
Can you tell me the price of the ticket for the very first Super Bowl?
Oh, at the it's at the LA Coliseum, and of course, it wasn't called the Super Bowl yet, but the ticket price, I'm going to go big. I'm going to say $10.
$12 for the best seat in the house.
Wow.
Versus this year, they start at $6,300 and go all the way to $44,000.
And I always wonder, does anybody actually like buy these tickets? It just feels like they all are like, you know, comped in some way, VIP, you've won this contest, or somebody's bringing somebody to. Can an average person actually buy two tickets to the Super Bowl?
I wouldn't be surprised, but you're probably not going through Ticketmaster. You probably have to go through like a special thing. I mean, yeah, I couldn't imagine. I could imagine going to the Super Bowl if it's like, all right, I'm paying $500. I'm going to put down $500 for this. But if someone said $6,300, I'm like, well, can I live with you? Because my wife will throw me out of the house.
I could see where people would go and then not go to the game. I mean, if you're going to Vegas, you can get in all of the environment and everything. And then when it's time for the game, you go to one of the many sports books there or to your own little, you know, suite and watch the game that way and avoid the crush of the stadium. Yeah. I mean, there's many ways to do this. Most folks will do it with friends at somebody's house with some good snacks. And that's good. That's
it's a great all way about to go. The snacks.
All right. We will wrap things up for this Friday morning. Coming up in just a bit, you're up north. Let's rock these taken. Yeah, this is one of those Friday morning songs I got to put in the rotation more often. For birthday boy, Travis Tritt. Bring it home, Travis. Well, let's get into the weekend here on Up North News Radio at 7:51 here as we get set to tell you that on many of these stations, Earl Ingram is coming up next. Earl Ingram right down there where Greg is in Waukesha and has a special in-studio guest, United States Senator Ron Johnson is in the building, as they say.
Right now, he's in the building right this moment.
So folks will be able to, I'm assuming people will be able to call in with questions for the senator.
I know that we have people submitting questions. So,
oh, okay. All right. So you'll want to give a listen to that coming up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network, or listen through the app, head over to civicmedia.us to learn more about the app or the stations where you can catch Senator Ron Johnson on with Earl Ingram. Maybe instead you'd like to go to a comedy show. I know a place. Greg knows a place.
I know a place where the comedy flows. I know a place. Everyone knows your name. Wait, that's Cheers. Sorry. All right.
No, who's at the Laughing Tap?
Martin Urbano is here this weekend. Three shows Friday tonight, 7:30. Tomorrow, two shows, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. You can get your tickets on thelaughingtap.com. Go to the World Wide Web. Go on your computer thing. Type in your little typos with your fingies and buy some tickets. I don't know what happened there. I've had two cups of coffee and
I say we're at Friday.
Yeah, we're at Friday. We're at Friday. So it'll be a fun time. It's going to be a really fun show.
Mm-hmm.
He tells dark one-liners. And it's just – and one-liners – you gotta make them like one-liners go back all the way to like vaudeville. And
I was gonna say, was like in a Stephen Wright kind of one-liner way,
in the sense of like, you know, you think you're like a one-liner can be very simple, but nowadays mm-hmm. if you're gonna do one-liners, you really have to take that setup and make the person go, oh, we're gonna go here, and then just take a hard right turn. And you're like, oh, I wasn't expecting that, but it's also funny. So,
Yeah, that's the thing. That it has to be funny, or you just go, ooh, why did you do that? Yeah. Why did you go there?
Why are you so sad?
Right. Dan Schumacher is normally here on Fridays. He's taking the week off, and we were glad that Mike Clemens could come in and talk to us. Yeah. So in Dan's absence, let me tell you just again, the Bucks lost to the Wolves 129-105. They play the Charlotte Hornets tonight. Catch the game on locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh Air Support, News from the Center and Richland Center, Lake Erin Amory, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The 11th-ranked Badger men's basketball team takes their three-game losing streak to New Jersey tomorrow morning to play Rutgers. 11 a.m. is the tip-off. Catch that game on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, News from the Center, Richland Center, Lake Erin Amory, WRJN, and Racine as well. The 7th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team, with their six-game win streak, will host St. John's tomorrow night at the Fiserv Forum. The Badger women's basketball team hosts Penn State on Sunday afternoon. The Marquette women's basketball team is at Providence tomorrow afternoon. The 4th-ranked Badger men's hockey team hosts Notre Dame tonight and tomorrow night. The Badger women's hockey team, second-ranked in the nation with an 11-game win streak, will be up north at Bemidji State for Friday and Saturday. And in Division III, the UW River Falls women's hockey team, 24-0. They go for a perfect season, closing things out tomorrow in Eau Claire against the 6th-ranked Blue Golds. And then finally, bringing things back to the Super Bowl, Civic Media is the home for the Super Bowl on WRCO. Let me say that again, WRCO, Radio from the Center in Richland Center at 100.9 FM. Coverage begins at 1 o'clock, and then the kickoff is at 5:30. So that's everything you need to know about sports as we head into the weekend. And at this point, if Dan were here, we'd be playing a Grateful Dead song. You'd be trying to guess what it is. Yeah. I would keep coming back to the same old, you know, joke about, oh, that song sounds just like the last one. And then you two would both jump down my throat. And, you know, none of that's happening today. Oh,
I really don't like your attitude, sir. Not a fan of your disrespect.
Luke Mathers has wandered in now, again, looking inside the office, wondering what I'm going to mock.
Just say to him, just yell.
He doesn't have any. How about no rotted fruit?
How about them Bucks?
Oh, yes, that's it. Mathers, get in here. Yes. Oh, he's pumping his fist in a good way or a bad way. he's
well, when how about the Bucks? When you made the overpaid line.
Luke just walked away. He finally heard me through the door. I'm like, how about the Bucks? He just shook his head and he walked away.
When you made that overpaid joke in the first hour, he was like, oh, good to know you're overpaid. I'm like, cry low.
Yeah, that's a sincere line, because is there anybody in radio at the local level who's overpaid?
I make $3 million a year.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, then now I want
to all in corn nuts.
You should be so lucky. So the Super Bowl this year, I was asking about the radio commercials, because yes. I really will be just listening to the game, I guess, driving all across, because I'll be visiting a family in Michigan this weekend.
Yeah.
And so it will not be a TV experience for me.
Interesting.
We did set the DVR just in case anything really weird happens. I don't know that I'll need to do that, but at least it'll be that. What did I say this time?
We set the DVR to tape the football game, and
I guess that is a modern day old man remark, isn't it?
Don't you have to set it for like 5 hours though now? Because it's
yes,
like,
you do.
Oh
yes.
My gosh, that's
we don't have much on there. There's not a lot that we record.
We got every episode anymore of the Yellowstone on there, because I love the Kevin Costner. Oh, that Taylor Sheridan can write his TV show. Oh, he's good. That and the Cold Case Files.
I don't know what it is about TikTok and their algorithms. You know, like if you watch something, they kind of feed you more of it.
Yeah.
I've never watched Yellowstone. I've never watched the show. Well, I take that back. I watched episode one and said, this is probably not for me. But every so often on TikTok, you know, as all these different videos from movies and shows come up, and I'll kind of watch a little bit of it. It's like, what is going on? What's this about? Well, then the algorithm feeds you a little more and then a little more. I almost feel up to date on Yellowstone just through, I mean, certainly not in order. It's almost like, who are some of those movie directors, that the whole movie is out of sequence.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
like that's how I've watched Yellowstone, in drips and drabs that are completely out of sequence. But I see why some people would get addicted to it.
I've watched the entire show. They're all scum.
Well, that was my take on episode one. Like, oh, there's nobody in here to like.
Oh,
this is Dallas with more violence and sex. Yep. And I remember Dallas, and it doesn't have J.R. Ewing, you know? Yeah. So anyway, now that I've made all the Yellowstone fans unhappy, I direct your
mail to Luke Mathers at madisonradio.gov.
Luke Mathers would love that. Yes. Thank you, Greg. Have a great time at the Laughing Tap.
Thank you, sir. Have a good time this weekend. Drive safe.
Yep. And catch Greg a little later for Matt and Air on Air here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks for joining us for Up North News Radio for this Friday.